Okay, Weezer, Say It Ain't So, and Say It Ain't So, another podcast. Seems like I'm doing one a year. I guess it's my annual podcast. Anyways, welcome, and thanks for listening in here. Got a lot of good stuff to going over. I'm going to make this my longest and best podcast ever. I'm going to really work it over technically, try to make it sound professional as I can anyways. I've got a lot to go over, and don't forget to visit my blog, lifeinthegreatmidwest.com. I write a lot of stuff there along with my buddies Carl and Jerry, and they do a great job too. So I have a lot of stuff to go over. We're going to start with a little sports, start with the Bears, then we're going to go into the little Brewers. We'll do mostly Bears though, so let's get it going. All right, so I'm holding in my hand, well, let's do first things first. While that Bear theme song gets us all excited and everything, the fact of the matter is that the Bears are shining up their golf clubs, getting ready to hit the course while the Giants and the Patriots prepare to do battle for the Super Bowl title. Bears didn't even make the playoffs this year, probably the worst 7-9 team I've ever seen, which probably says something about the level of competition in the NFL. I think I went to only 3 or 4 games this year. I usually go to a lot more than that, but I was just disgusted by about halfway through the season. You knew they weren't going anywhere. There was just no hope. And, you know, I don't know. They had a lot of injuries. Still don't have a quarterback. Crappy running back. Just so many things that are wrong and went wrong. I mean, they just really, you just knew they weren't going to make the playoffs. And after that stellar Super Bowl run last year, it was totally disappointing. Anyways, what I have in front of me here is the current active roster for the Bears, and it's in alphabetical order. And I'm going to make some comments and go down and look at the players I would keep. The players I would keep total 24 on this team. And there's some good names in there and some names you might be surprised with, some names of some people who actually do contribute that aren't really recognized too often. So let's get down to it here. Let's talk about it. We're going to go alphabetical. I'm just going to talk about the players I'd keep. First is Brendan Ian Badejo. That guy's a great special teamer, awesome on defense. Bernard Berrian, Mark Bradley, two good wide receivers. Lance Briggs, he's probably going to be gone at the end of the year, well, along with a few of these other people. I'm not sure who all here is on this list are free agents. Lance Briggs is probably the best outside linebacker in the league right now. The guy just destroys people, and he didn't really want to be here this year, but he didn't mail it in. I mean, he was out there working. This is his free agent year. He's going to be gone. Let's see. We'll keep Alex Brown. Robbie Gould, great kicker. That guy is solid, cool as a cucumber. Tommy Harris, home wrecker on the defensive line. Devin Hester, duh, our whole offense. And he's not even on the offensive team. Hunter Hillenmeyer, good, solid linebacker, plays every game practically. Israel Adonijay, good backup lineman. You notice most of these people are on defense so far. Anyways, is Adonijay, good backup lineman, good special teamer too. Olin Krutz, the only offensive lineman I'd probably keep, our star center. Brad Maynard, low punting average, but that guy gets the job done. That guy nails a lot of punts with inside the 20, and he always has good hang time. So he doesn't get a lot of long run backs on his punts. Jason McKee, the fullback. A lot of people might be surprised by that, but that guy's got his place. When he's in there, he's blocking hard. Too bad Benson isn't running hard behind him, but that's quite another story. Moose Muhammad, another good wide receiver. We're set with wide receivers. Muhammad, Bradley, and Berrien. That's pretty good threesome right there. Adewale Ogunleye, good defensive end. Solid. Very solid. Greg Olsen, that's our tight end of the future. That guy's going to be a star if he can stay healthy. Kyle Orton. Not a lot of people would think I'd want to keep Kyle Orton, but he's probably one of the best third-string quarterbacks in the entire league. And I mean that in a good way. I mean, if you got two guys that go down, there's not a lot of people better than Orton in that third spot. Adrian Peterson, the running back. He lays it all out there on the line. This is his sixth year. He's not a star by any means, but he's a good backup, good solid backup. Peanut Tillman, great defensive back. Urlacher, duh. Garrett Wolf, running back. Showed me a little spunk at the end last year. Guys were going down, and he got some playing time on some of those end games, and he looked good out there. He was speedy, good back to have in there on third down, for the little flare out. And then we got some guys who were on injured reserve. Mark Anderson, one of our star pass rushers. He's a keeper. Mike Brown, if that guy could ever walk again, that guy's injured every freaking year. I wish that, when he's in there, he's great, hard-hitting, good cover guy. He's really good tackler, hits hard, shuts the run down. Good player, but man, that guy's knees are just destroyed. I just don't know how he could even walk. And then Nathan Vasher was on the injured reserve too. He's a keeper. That's 24 players I would keep. And there are some people who were borderline. Roberto Garza on the line. Adam Archuleta. Rex Grossman, no. I'd probably keep one of the Mannings, Daniel or Ricky, just just because we need some backup corners. I mean, you can't have enough of those guys. And a few other guys on the line. Fred Miller. John St. Clair, John Tate, get rid of all of them. Everyone else, back you go. I can't really see too much value in keeping anyone else on this team. And they're all interchangeable. Once all these guys go on free agent market, you're going to find a player who's equivalent to Desmond Clark at tight end. I mean, the guy's a stiff, It's just everyone else here is just old. Our offensive line is so old. So it looks like in the draft, I was looking at all the draft boards, and it looks like the Bears are probably, if he's available, going to take Andre Woodson, the QB out of Kentucky, which is fine with me. We need a quarterback. We need a running back too, though. Benson is a stiff. That guy runs so lame. I mean, I wish I had Thomas Jones back now. I never thought I'd say that, but, I mean, that guy at least would lay it all out there. Benson just got hurt. He was tentative running into that line. I mean, you got to nail that hole. You've got a microsecond in the NFL to get through those holes because the linebackers and safeties are so fast and strong. If you don't get through there, the play is hosed. I wouldn't mind to see the Bears take a flyer on Rashard Mendenhall, the star running back out of Illinois who set the rushing record last year. I mean, Mendenhall's strong. He's fast. They don't project Mendenhall to go that early in the draft. I think the Bears have the 14th pick, but I don't see any reason why they shouldn't. I look at this team, and I just keep thinking to myself, God, how did they win 7 games? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because of Devin Hester. I mean, if we didn't have that guy, we would have been 2-14 last year, if we were lucky. And that's a big if. But anyways, that's my I think the Bears could do well again next year. They're going to have to spend some money. They're going to have to get some free agents. They're going to lose some, that's for sure. They got to have a good draft. Hopefully we'll get a Tommy Harris-like first-round draft pick. Now, moving on to the Brewers. Missed it by 2 games last year to the most-hated Chicago Cubs. I think we got a chance to, compete again if everyone can stay healthy. Our rotation looks pretty solid. We actually have competition this year. Gallardo came in good last year. Dave Bush, Chris Capuano. We got Eric Gagne as our closer, who sucked the last year or two, but hopefully he can get it together. Can't be any worse than throwing Derek Turnblow out there. We got Manny Parra, Ben Sheets. If that guy could stay healthy, that guy never stays healthy. Since I've been following the Brewers, Sheets has been around probably for, at least 5 years now, and that guy just always gets hurt. But if he could stay healthy, he's going to be a 20-game winner. Supan pitched pretty well last year. He'll be back. Claudio Vargas, Villanueva. Our arms are looking okay if we can keep it together, maybe get one more. For catcher, we picked up Jason Kendall, which is going to help us out a lot. Our infielders are solid. We got Ryan Braun, should have been Rookie of the Year. Or was he? I can't remember. Prince Fielder, Bill Hall, J.J. Hardy, Ricky Weeks. Good rotation there. We got a couple extras in case someone gets hurt. For outfield, we picked up Mike Cameron. He has to sit out the first 25 games, though, because of all the roids he was pumping. But when he comes back in, that'll help. Tony Gwynn Jr., Corey Hart, Gabe Gross. Not the best defensive outfield, but who cares? They make an error here and there. It doesn't really matter. As long as they're hitting for average and drawing walks, we're going to be fine. You need 4 or 5 runs a game, and let your pitching hopefully take care of the rest. Sure, they're going to have a bad day once in a while and give up a bunch, but, you got to score some runs. So anyways, there's the Bears and Brewers, and now we're moving on. Gouge away. You can gouge away. You can stay all day if you want to. Was a band called The Promise Ring doing a cover of the Pixies' Gouge Away. It's actually off of a tribute album called Where Is My Mind, and a bunch of different bands did a bunch of different Pixie covers, which is cool. So now we're on to the food segment, and I want to talk jerky. My buddy Snake Eye, who blogs over at snakeeye.us, and he's not doing much of any blogging right now. His wife's doing most of the blogging because he's over in Iraq doing the military deal. All he wanted was jerky. Of all the things you could ask for to be sent, he wanted homemade jerky. He's pretty specific on his jerky. He's one of my buddies I met online over at the Saturday Football Update. Just Google Saturday Football Update. That's where I do football blogging. And I got a bunch of guys who I met through a blog, a now defunct blog, called the Astronomicon. I don't even remember how, but I found that blog, and we were doing some football stuff there. And then we decided, after several meltdowns, to move it off of that blog and onto a blog that is still hosted by that original one. But anyways, it's called the Saturday Football Update. And I met all these guys online. I've never met one of these guys in person. Yet every single weekend during football season, we yell and scream at each other and give each other a hard time and pat each other on the back, make a lot of beer bets on football games, and do all kinds of goofy shit over there. Anyways, Snake Eye from there, he is on his little tour over in the sandbox. Wanted some jerky, and I've been making a lot over the past few years, and I actually stole a recipe from Alton Brown, of all people, online. You can find that recipe if you just type in Alton Brown jerky in Google. It'll come up. It's over at the Food Network. Let me see if I can do this off the top of my head. 2/3 cup soy sauce, 2/3 cup Worcestershire sauce, 2 teaspoons black pepper, 1 teaspoon red pepper flakes, and 2 teaspoons onion powder, and a tablespoon of honey. And I go a little heavier than that on the honey usually. I like getting that sweet and, you know, spicy thing going. Anyways, you mix all that up, and while that's kind of blending, you just set it aside. You cut up 2 pounds of flank steak. I like using flank steak. I've tried different cuts and different methods, and the flank steak, it's relatively cheap. It's about $10 or so for 2 pounds, and it's kind of tough. I mean, it's a tough cut, and it takes, but it does suck up that marinade well. So you're going to cut that flank steak into strips, and you're going to put it in that marinade overnight. Put it in a baggie, put it in the fridge overnight. Then the next day, pull that stuff out and throw it on a dehydrator for about 9 or 10 hours, and that's it. You got jerky. It's pretty easy. It's a good tasting recipe. And you should buy, if you're going to do it, don't try it in the oven or in Alton Brown's recipe. He comes up with this cockamamie scheme of like using a furnace filter, a pleated air filter, and a box fan. That is just the most retarded thing I've ever heard. These dehydrators are like $30 or $20, $20-$30 on Amazon. And I've got one made by Nesco, and it's got like 5 tiers, and it's actually got a heater in it and a fan. And you just lay this jerky on these trays, and you know, it's about the size of a basketball, I'd say, maybe a little bigger. And you just put it in there, and you turn it on, and 10 hours later you come back and you've got this outstanding jerky. Now, I like jacking that recipe up too. My wife likes it. She doesn't like the as much spicy food as I do, so she likes the original recipe just fine. What I like to do to jack it up, I'll double the pepper flakes. The last time I did it, I threw a teaspoon of cayenne in there, and that really starts cranking it up because that stuff is, once you know, it's powdered really fine, the cayenne. And so if you want to keep going, I mean, you can play around with that recipe. It's a very good base. It's, you know, nice and sweet, kind of a teriyaki type of deal. So anyways, that's my take on that. So the best part about this whole kind of mini story here is that I got a comment from Snake Eye, and when he got this last load of jerky, and he's like, "Oh, dude, I owe you, man. Anything you want, you know, from over here, blah, blah, blah." And I'm thinking to myself, "Jeez, Louise, you know, you're over there. His wife's pregnant. You know, his first kid's on the way. He's over there doing the thing for our country, and he thinks he owes me for sending him some jerky that it took me all of, like, you know, a half an hour and $20 to make, you know, and he's over there in some shithole, you know, actually, who really knows where he is, but anyways, you know, he thinks he owes me. Well, that's a bunch of crap. Anyways, so when I got that comment, I'm like, well, I'll just make you another load. So anyways, if you're listening to this, Snake Eye, by some freak chance, another load's on the way probably in a day or two here. I just finished off the hot stuff. So anyways, thanks for what you're doing over there, Snake Eye. We miss you. Hope you get back soon in one piece and, you know, get to your wife there and start watching her belly get big.
Yes, indeed, it's fun time. Fun time.
Ooh, did you hear that? Do you know what that was? That was a cougar. We'll get to that in a second. The music there was Beastie Boys, Sure Shot, off of Ill Communication, one of my favorite discs ever. But let's move on to this cougar. My wife knows that I have this weird, bizarre fascination with stories I read in the media where people put themselves in a situation where they can get eaten by a wild cat. And I mean like a big one, like a tiger or a lion or a cougar or, you know, whatever. I love stories like that. I love it when people voluntarily, like, will raise a tiger and, like, one day the tiger eats them. I just, for some stupid reason, I just get off on those stories. I think they're the most fucking hilarious thing ever. I just don't know what is wrong with me. I just find extreme pleasure in those. This one Russian guy ran into a Russian zoo, and he's, like, going in there pronouncing himself like he's God and Jesus is going to protect him. And he goes into the tiger cage, and they just ate him, of course. Siegfried and Roy, you know, I feel bad for the guy, but damn it, man, I laughed my ass off when I found out that tiger ate him. I mean, it's a tiger. You know, you go into a tiger cage, and the tiger eats you, and everyone's like, oh, the tiger ate him, oh, no. Well, yeah, the tiger ate him. The tiger ate him. He's going to eat you every time. Anyways, I find a strange, morbid fascination with those stories. And we have one kind of going on here in southern Wisconsin. There have been some cougar sightings. And we haven't had a wild cougar around here since 1908, according to the media. Who knows if that's right or not. But, you know, I'm not really getting off on this cougar, you know, getting ready to eat someone. But now that this has been in the media, this is actually in a county, one county south of where I live. I live in Madison. This is Dane County. This is in Rock County. It's one south. So it's about, I don't know, 30 or 40 miles from here. My hunch is that someone raised this thing, some asshole raised a cougar in a private setting and then let it go, or it got out. That's my guess. But you never know. I mean, this thing could have been in the wild. You know, there's a lot of rural area around here. I mean, it used to be more wooded. It's mostly farmland around here now, but there are a lot of woods still on these farmlands. Up north, there's a lot of woods. They're still, you know, they're still raising wood for timber and things like that. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if there's a few up there in the remote sticks. But anyways, a few people have seen this cougar. And when it came out in the media, now everybody's seen the cougar except me. I mean, I'm waiting for this everyone to say the cougar was walking down State Street in Madison. I mean, they're getting cougar sightings now. Now, everyone who sees anything from a freaking dog to a cat, you know, everyone's saying they've seen the cougar now. Of course, it's totally out of control. You know, they're getting these reports. But what I'm waiting to happen, and I hope doesn't happen, is that cougar attacks someone. You know, eventually someone's going to wander out there and say, oh, I'm going to trap this thing or whatever. What will probably happen is that this thing will just end up going away. What will happen is some farmer will see him out there, like, eating one of his cows, and that's going to be the end of the cougar. I mean, these farmers, and rightly so, I would shoot predators. I mean, if a wolf was eating my livestock, I'm shooting that son of a bitch if I'm a farmer. And I'm going to throw him out in the field, and he's going to rot away, or the raccoons will eat it, or whatever. No one's going to find out about it. There's no DNR patrolling every farm. And I think farmers have certain rights to shoot pests. I think you can get a permit, actually, to shoot deer out of season if you're a farmer, for, you know, so they don't eat all your corn and stuff like that. Anyways, just a cool story about this cougar. I just think nature in general is making a huge comeback. I wrote about this a few days ago. There's all kinds of freaking animals all over the place I've seen in the past year. I don't understand what's going on. I mean, it's not that these animals are displaced. In my, where I live anyways, there's not a ton of development. There's a little, sure, but I mean, not crazy like in some places. But I've just been seeing so many more animals as I've been riding my bike. You know, there's deer and fox and all kinds of stuff running around. And now we got this cougar, which I think is cool. Anyways, I hope it's a wild cougar. I'd like to see him come back. We got to get the deer population down. That's the whole end game. I mean, there are so many deer, and the car deer accidents keep spiraling out of control, and the things are everywhere. I remember when I was a kid, I'd see a deer. I'd be like, ooh, it's a deer. Wow. And now, like, my kids are in the car and we see a deer and they just, like, don't even look at it. It's like seeing a dog for them or a cat. And they're just like, oh, there's a deer, man. Okay. Anyways, cool story about the cougar. If you see it, let me know. Crystal Method. Can't remember the name of that song. Oh, that's the name of the game. Yeah, it's a hard one to remember, I know. Anyways, this is my random segment. I'm going to go over about four or five different things. And the first one is the blog, lifeinthegreatmidwest.com. It's doing really well. We're getting over 250 hits a day, which is pretty cool. A lot of good feedback, a lot of good comments. And, you know, that's the reason we do it. Well, we probably all have different reasons. Carl and Jerry's reasons might be different from mine, but I'm sure they're somewhat similar. I do it kind of just to keep my brain active, keep my writing skills up, and to give something back to the internet because I take so much from it, information and things like that. And, you know, that blog started out really slow with hardly any hits per day, and now we're up to over 250, and that's pretty good for me, you know, for someone who doesn't really try to promote it or pimp it or, you know, butt snorkel people and, you know, ask for links and all that crap. I mean, I really don't do hardly any of that. I mean, that blog could easily be over 1,000 or 10,000 hits per day if I really wanted to apply myself. But, you know, I don't really want to do stuff like that. I just don't think that's right. I want to earn it the right way, you know. Also, over the past year, now Carl and I do some blogging over at Chicago Boys, and I'd like to thank Jonathan for inviting us on there. What a great blog that is. A lot of real brains over there and great commenters. You get the occasional troll, but don't we all? For Muay Thai, I am totally consumed by that sport, I tell you. It looks like I'm going to have my next level testing in June, and I'm going to blow through that thing. I go to every single class. I lay it all out on the line, every class. I just put out everything I have into that sport, and it's given me back this awesome chiseled body, totally in shape. I can totally defend myself now, a lot more confidence. It's just a great sport, and it gives you back almost instantly what you give to it. And that sounds stupid, but you know, if you want to go there and do some half-assed stuff, you know you're going to get some half-assed results. But if you go there and do like I do, and lay it on the line every single lesson, it shows quickly. Your skills develop quickly. Your muscles develop quickly. Your cardio develops. I mean, it's just the best freaking thing I've ever done. And, you know, I can't thank my gym owner enough for helping me through some of the earlier times, which are pretty tough. You know, and you know, they don't really kid glove you too much at my gym, which I also like. But anyways, I can see myself already doing better than some of the guys who have higher level belts than me. And I'm looking, I have to admit, I've come a long way in 9 months of doing Muay Thai. I'm really happy with it. One other little tidbit I've got is that I actually had an opportunity to do a radio show, a nationally syndicated one, to be a guest for some stuff I wrote on my blog. ESPN found it, and they were going to actually have me on with one of their radio guys. So I'm talking to this guy on the phone, and you should have heard the way this guy was talking to me. I mean, I'm not really going to go too much into what he said or who he was even, but I was disgusted with the whole thing. You know, he's like, I want to have you on. I'm going to ask you these questions. And he's like laying out all these questions, and these are going to be your answers. He's like telling me that. And I'm like, well, you know, no. You know, if I don't, I told him, I said, well, that's not how I would answer that question. He's like, well, do you want to be on this show or not? Do you want to be famous or not? And finally, at the end, I just had to get raw with him. And I said, you know what? Fuck you. I don't need your bullshit radio show. I don't need your 2 seconds of, you know, plugging my blog to sell my soul. I'm not going to sell my soul and tell you something you want to hear on your radio show. It was totally ridiculous. And then the guy, like, started getting into my face, oh, you'll never be anything in this industry and blah, blah, blah. And I finally told him, I'm like, I don't give a shit. I wasn't anything before, you know, you people found my post. You know, I'm writing the best information on this particular topic, which I'm going to talk about in a little while here, probably in the next segment. And this guy was just, I was just incredulous. And these people, the people in that industry, in the media industry, I'm not going to bust ESPN too hard, but the people in that industry must butt snorkel all day long. It must just, I don't know how people could sleep at night selling your soul like that. But anyways, that was a cool opportunity I had. It didn't work out, but, you know, I'm just not going to sell out. I'm not going to do it. If a guy wanted me on there to actually have a normal conversation and, you know, not pre-scripted, sure, I would have probably done it. I would have found some time to handle that, you know, and I wouldn't have even needed any pay. Of course, he wasn't going to pay me for any of this. You know, I'm going to take time off of work or away from my family. I think it was actually on a graveyard, so it might have been away from my family. And, you know, losing sleep or whatever. But, you know, on top of all that, he wants it to be scripted. A scripted interview. So I just said no, it didn't work out. But I got a few other emails, you know. These people must all be connected somehow. I got a few other emails for some people who want me to write some stuff. And, you know, I don't know. I'm looking some stuff over. We'll see what happens. But I'm not too keen on it, you know. I'm not going to start making a living on doing that. I don't think. You never know, but anyways, just some interesting random tidbits here. That's one you've probably never heard before. That was a song called Ankh by the Poster Children. That was off of New World Record. And that's a band that I used to see a lot when I was in college. Actually, they're from Champaign. They started out when I was in school down there. I used to see them at house parties and stuff. And then they got kind of famous. They actually did Lollapalooza a few times and a few other things. But, you know, now they've got kids, and I think they still tour, though. I'll have to check out their website. I know they're still around. I don't know if they're touring, though. But anyways, last segment here is about the Big Ten Network. And I've written a lot about this subject in the past, I don't know, year or so since this has gone down. For those who don't know, I'm going to do just a quick review here of what that is. The Big Ten Network and Fox jointly own this thing called the Big Ten Network. The Big Ten Conference and Fox own this thing. And what it is basically they're taking the games that are not reserved for the major networks for basketball. Let's be real. Men's basketball and football, those are the revenue sports. So we'll just limit our discussion to that because saying anyone gives a shit about volleyball or rowing or fencing or rugby or any of these other sports are kidding themselves. It's men's basketball and football. That's what the fight's about. They're taking the games that are not on the network, that have not been reserved for the networks. The networks already have through existing contracts. So what they're getting are, in some cases, some crap games, but in some cases, some decent games. Like this year, they actually snagged the Wisconsin-Ohio State game, football game, of course. And the people here in Madison are going nuts. The problem is the Big Ten Network is not carried on every single cable network in any of the hometowns of any of the Big Ten teams. So if your game's on the Big Ten Network, your choices are these. You can go to a bar. You can get a dish because it's on the Dish Network and DirecTV. Or you can listen to it on the radio. So you have a lot of people who are longtime fans, and, you know, every school has them. They're particularly rabid here in Wisconsin. I live in Madison, so I see and hear it a lot. They can't sometimes watch their team. Now, the football team, I think they lost 3 games to the Big Ten Network this year. It's not really as big an issue for me. I'm an Illinois fan. I didn't see a lot of Illinois games up here anyways. But now that our football team is good, that's, you know, hopefully we'll get some more network coverage. And it might end up being a win for me, a crazy win of all things. But anyways, in Madison, Charter is the cable company. They dominate around here. They have almost all of the local cable access. So they're doing a great job fighting this Big Ten Network thing. Here's the rub. The Big Ten Network is demanding from these cable companies that they go on, put them on a basic tier, which isn't too bad in and of itself, but the problem is they want more money for this network than any other network except ESPN, the ESPN package of networks. That's insane. The cable networks are going to get, you know, it, for football, like 9 hours of programming a year, and then maybe another 20 or so for basketball. They're getting a lot of basketball games. For instance, the Wisconsin basketball team, I think it's over half their games in conference games are on the Big Ten Network. So no one is watching them, really. You can't, unless you go to a bar or you have a dish. But anyways, the Big Ten Network wants this thing on basic, and they want these cable companies to pay out the ass for this thing for very little programming that's going to be watched, I should say. Plenty of programming, most of it shit. Anyways, the cable companies are screaming and yelling, saying, you're crazy. Let's put you on a premium sports tier and let people decide to pay for it if they want. I already pay for a sports tier. It's got CSTV, all the Fox regional stuff is on there, and a few other things. There's a soccer channel, and, you know, it's about 15 channels or so. I pay a premium for those because I like them. I watch a lot of football during the season, and I think it's cool. And that is, in my opinion, where the Big Ten Network should be. There's no question that the cable companies are right. And so Charter, it has mounted this wonderful public relations thing. They set up a website and the whole nine yards, and they're crushing the Big Ten Network. It's a huge black eye for the conference. These recruits are looking at this and saying, you know, half the time, if you're a football recruit and you see this, You know, a third of your games aren't even going to be on the local TV channel. That might swing your decision to go to a non-Big Ten school. It's a disaster of epic proportions. And the people are getting sick of it. The fans are the real losers in this, as always. And, you know, I think that it's a huge black eye on the Big Ten Conference. They did this thing. I don't know what they were thinking. I thought that by now that the wrinkles would be wrung out of this thing and that someone would have caved in, but they're not. The cable companies are sticking it right down their throats. Comcast in Chicago is just laughing them out the door. They like are putting full-page ads in the paper, just laughing at the Big Ten Network, explaining it very clearly to the people their stand. And I think the majority of the people are on the cable company side. And trust me, nobody loves Charter Communications. Everyone's always yelling at them and screaming and hating on them. But everyone, I think, is starting to agree with them. Their PR campaign is very effective, and they are winning. Nobody has said a word about these Big Ten basketball games, by the way. Well, during football season, everyone was kind of going crazy for about a week. You know, we can't watch the game. There were some letters in the paper, some very uninformed articles written by uninformed journalists on the subject. And right now, though, no one's saying anything. I don't think anyone gives a crap about basketball, even. I think it's almost all about football. No one's, you know, writing letters to the paper saying, oh, I can't watch the Big Ten men's basketball team. You know, I can't watch the Badgers that play in Michigan this week in basketball. No one's really doing that. I think people are just, because they know when the tournament comes around, they'll be able to watch that. I think the Big Ten tournament is on CBS as well as March Madness. I think that's all anyone really cares about. Sure, you have some diehard fans that want to watch every basketball game. I mean, I don't. But anyways, that's what's going on. They're stuck. The cable companies and Big Ten are not negotiating, and it's a real nightmare. So we'll see what happens next year. I don't know. I think the Big Ten Network's going to have to cave in. I just don't see the cable companies caving. They're not caving to the NFL Network either, which is similar to the Big Ten Network. The NFL Network grabbed one Packer game this year that no one could watch. I think it was the Packer-Cowboy game. And what did people do? They went to bars. They, you know, they did the same thing they did when cable came out, when the game was on cable and a lot of people didn't have cable. Well, they'd go to the bar or go to someone else's house. That's all anyone did. No one wants the NFL Network. No one wants to watch the replay of Super Bowl X during the summer when you're going to be outside or other people are watching baseball or doing other stuff. Anyways, it's an interesting topic. I'm really, really interested to see how it all shakes out in the end. I don't see the end anytime soon. They don't have deals with a lot of major cable companies yet, and I don't think they're going to get them if they keep asking for what they're asking for. So there's the short version of the Big Ten Network. We'll see what happens. And that's it for this podcast. It's been a good one. Like I say, I've tried to do my best to tighten this thing up technically a little bit from my other ones. And I'm going to leave you with one more song here, and hopefully it'll be less than a year before I sit down with the microphone again. My microphone, the poor guy, just stares at me with his one eye. And anyways, visit me on lifeinthegreatmidwest.com. I also blog at Chicago Boys and the Saturday Football Update. And that's probably enough. So have a great day. Thank you for joining me. And hopefully we'll see you in less than a year. Bye. People, keep up.